take notice when God's at work. And I was talking with Matt this morning. I said, you know what, for being only 3 pages long, probably one of the heaviest sermons that I think God has ever put on my heart. But it's an uplifting sermon, and oddly enough, it parallels to the T with what Paul spoke about this morning. So I'm going to declare this mini Amen Day, because I feel like it's going to be an Amen Day. We're coming back into an Amen season, so I'm going to fire one off. God is great, amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's start this out with a little prayer. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his willingness to freely sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for the ability to come before the throne, washed in the blood of Jesus, cleansed, purified, and ready to spend eternity with you. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. So I titled today's sermon, Walking on Troubled Waters. I've seen things in search of 2020. I've seen a lot of different things going on out there. There's a lot of different confusion. But in the mix of that, I've seen those sparks of godliness popping back through the fog. And I've seen people start to ask questions. And in today's public Facebook society, if you ask a question or make a statement, you're normally going to get trampled on, you're going to get offended, or somebody's going to be offended. But I see those sparks of people looking for wisdom, and it reminded me of a story that my grandmother had told me a long time ago. And it was a situation where a pupil had went to the master because they had been studying about good and evil. And he said, you know, Master, I want to learn more about this good and evil because I don't want to be evil. Could you tell me more about it? And he says, well, the good and evil is inside all of us, and it's like a dove and a serpent. The dove is the peaceful, it is the love, it is the God that can grow inside you. And the serpent is the dark side, the things that we could pursue that are of the world and not of God. And the pupil looked back at the master, and he says, well, which one wins? The master calmly and quietly looked back at his pupil, and he said, whichever one you feed. And so we see that today a little bit. There's a lot of different perspectives being fed. There's so much noise, there's so much dirt flying around that it can make it hard to sort out the God in all of it. It seems like the world is trying to tarnish God and how we example many beliefs in our daily life. But there's a calm in the center of this storm, Jesus. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be in constant connection with God the Father, amen? The scripture gives us a litmus test. So, to speak about the fruits of that relationship, it's right here on our wall. It's Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. We call them the fruits of the Spirit. You know, and I asked myself, I said, why not vegetables? Why not anything else? Why is it the fruit of the Spirit of all things? And so I did my own little word search, and I come to find out some of the differences between the fruits and the vegetables. And when you go out and pick a carrot out of the garden, the carrot is the seed. And if you replant it the next spring, it will produce a new plant, and it may give you a few more carrots, and then you have to repeat that process. But on the flip side, fruits, I'll use the example of watermelon. One piece of fruit has many seeds, so it can exponentially grow much faster than vegetables can. Another example was the cherry tree. Each cherry has only one seed, but each tree has thousands of cherries. And so, as we seek to further God's kingdom, as we seek to further His glory here on earth and further our example, it's kind of like the example of the talents. He wants these things to be multiplied in our lives. And these are things that we can share, we can example on a daily basis. Now, our relationship with God will produce many fruits, both in our daily lives and leave many godly impressions on those who we come in contact with. Amen? So what does all this have to do with the price of ice in Alaska? Our country's been in a cycle of internal struggle way before COVID. Matt had actually made mention last week about how we can stray and we can push against God, and that he may have to let us be to our own devices for a time. So if you would, join with me. I'm going to give a quick prayer for our country while we're here. Lord, we pray for our country today. We come before you in unison to pray for your intervention in our land. We pray for peace. We pray for guidance, wisdom, discernment, and most importantly, your presence. We pray for an outpouring of your spirit in this land and in us. Empower us to be a light to further your will. Amen. So, church, let's dive into the meat and potatoes of today. If you will, let's start out. Turn with me to Exodus 13, 21 through 22. So by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. This is a beautiful fulfillment of God's promise to his children. You see, God said that he would lead his people out of Egypt, and he did. Loaded down with spoils, he actually led them down a longer route to prevent them from conflict, even though the scripture says that they were armed for battle. God parted the sea after passing through. He swept away their oppressors with it. So you see, this was a literal statement. When God says, I am going to lead you out of Egypt, he was literally present with them, and he did exactly that to the T. His presence stayed with them all the way to the promised land, actually. Nowhere else in the Old Testament could I find a reference where millions of people stayed in the immediate presence of God for over 40 years straight. The good news is, he's still present today. Church, this is great news. Amen? God showed us that he would be not only a lamp unto our feet, but he would make our path straight, just like in Egypt. You see, the Israelites ended up in and out of oppression simply because they had strayed from God, yet he still heard their cries, and he came to rescue them. So in the middle of calamity, in the middle of heightened anxiety and confusions, God hears our cries and desires to save his children. Amen. So this shows God is sovereign and willing to move, but what about us? As Matt said, we have all this stuff. We have stuff just flying everywhere. We're crying out for God to move urgently. So what does our part look like? How do we contribute due diligence in a godly manner? We can example 5:22, even when others are not. We bless others with no expectation other than God receiving the glory. Amen? We let our every action point to the cross. We carry on in full confidence that God is in control. This is easier said than done sometimes, right? Satan can spin some things up around us so fast that we lose focus and we begin to sink in distractions. Those close to us, they may give up hope and just want to give in. This was kind of literally exampled in Job, when all of his closest friends just said, give up, curse God. Yet Job persevered, and he was blessed many times over. Our focus on God at all times is of the utmost importance. So I'd like to touch on that a bit while we're on this path. If you would, we're going to surf all the way over to Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After that, he dismissed them. He went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It was a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. So then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. So he cried out, "Lord, save me." Here we go again. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" You see, when Jesus sent the disciples ahead in the boat, we see that the waves were already being lapped against the boat as the wind was against it. And I could expand on that for a long time. But we know that the wind was already against it. And so this is the first example in the passage that shows we will face resistances on our journey. The second is when Peter is already out of the boat, walking towards Jesus. Only this time, it scares Peter. Jesus quickly saves Peter, yet points out his doubt. The easiest observation is that doubt and allowing the distractions to have power will leave us sinking in fear. Amen? There is another perspective to consider. Our faith can empower us to step out and to do great things for the glory of God. Amen? When everything under our feet seems to be fluid, unstable, and pushing against us, God can lift us up and enable us to walk right over it. But for me, the best part is that when Peter began to sink, Jesus was already there. Immediately, it says, he reached out his hand and he caught him. Even in troubled waters, Jesus is already there with you. We see this in today with the confusion, with the doubt, with all the things being spun around. We have the comfort of knowing that Jesus is already there. He is the calm in the middle of our daily storm. He is the calm and the healer that can save our nation. So as we move forward, I think that if we are able to example those things on a daily basis, or if we are able to keep our godly center, that those things are going to not only shine through the darkness, but they're going to stand up and above that. We do these things for God's glory. We do these things because we know that Jesus has already won the battle. So we can operate on a daily basis without fear, knowing that everything we seek to do is going to point to the cross. And actually, these are the two main examples that I have. If my sermon could have been tied any more to that devotion, I think we would have had to write it together. And with everything that I see going on in our community today, it is wonderful to see God already present, already working, already in our lives, already with a hand outstretched. Whether you're sinking in the water and you're lost in confusion, whether you are walking on the water towards Jesus, we all know that Jesus is King. We all know that he has won the battle, and we have the ability to not only separate ourselves from the things of the world, but we have the ability to set ourselves above those things in a Christly manner. And so, that's what I have. That's my message of hope for you this morning. Everything bombarding us at the light of speed. God laid this on my heart. It's probably the shortest sermon I've ever written, but it's probably the most important, because as we see our lands in time of trouble, in time of peril, in time of confusion, God is the only constant in our lives. So this morning, if you have a prayer need, if you have a praise to lift it up with us. We stand in unity with you as children of Christ, saved by the blood on the cross, empowered by the Holy Spirit to step out of these walls today and go example the gifts that God has given us. So whether you're sinking in the sand or you're walking on the water, just know that Jesus is there. He is guiding us. He is in control. And he is the one who deserves all the praise. So if I could, I'm going to have Jesse come up with us this morning. I'm going to have Matt come up and sing with me. We are here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to be a family unified in Christ, to move forward, to further the kingdom here on earth. And so as the praise team joins with me, I'm going to ask that you join us in song. My goal today was to walk in the door praising God, praise God all the way through the service, and praise him all the way out the door.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this message, Father, this morning. Father, you are God. You're in control. You lead us. And that's something sometimes we look at, we don't understand. Maybe we don't even think that you are. But Father, we just praise you for leading us and guiding us and being with us. And Father, as we come to this time of service, Father, we just ask, Father, that your hand would be upon all of us here and that you'd be with Jesse here. We'd be praying. Anyone who needs prayer for anything, Father, we just want to bring it before your throne this morning. We want to lay it at your feet, knowing, Father, you see us and you're working on our problems. And just, Father, you just love us. We just praise you and we thank you for it, Father. In precious name we pray. Amen.